Okay, right, today I'm talking to guitarist from Greek metalers Firewind and also Ozzy Osbourne, Gus G. Hi Gus, how are you doing today?
Hey Ali, I'm fine, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah. So you've just recently played Sweden Rock Festival. How was that for the band?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was great. I mean, we had a pretty big turnout. I mean, we didn't expect it, and it was great. It was a fantastic experience.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, awesome. Okay. So, right, talking about festivals, you're going to be appearing at this year's Bloodstock on Friday the 9th of August. When I looked, I think you were last there in 2007. So can you tell me a bit what you think about Bloodstock and the whole experience there, what you remember of it?
I remember it was one of the highlights, actually, of our festival appearances ever, actually, because, I don't know, we had a really good slot back then. I think probably Bloodstock was not as big of a festival back then. I mean, we co-headlined the main stage before, actually, Testament. So, I mean, at the time, not many people knew about the band, really, and I mean, we went out there and we played a really, I mean, the fans were ecstatic. I remember that. I was like, what the hell is going on here? I mean, and it was crazy, you know. It was a really memorable show. I still remember it like yesterday, actually. And and it was cool because it was like that proper kind of like epic festival atmosphere. It was like maybe 5,000-6,000 people in the audience, but they sounded like tens of thousands, man. It was like, I could see like Greek flags up holding up in the audience and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, what's going on here?
Yeah. Oh, awesome. I was going to ask you about the whole sort of feel of it and the vibe that, you know, it puts across, because, you know, it is, I think it stands out as a festival compared to a lot, and I just wondered how you compare it, you know, because you must have done so many around the world.
Yeah, I mean, well, I get the feeling that it's, I mean, it's probably a festival where, for a band like Firewind, for example, it's probably the perfect audience, the perfect target group. It's like the audience, I guess, it's strictly heavy metal. It's you know, as opposed to other festivals, we might have done bigger festivals at some times, and it was a more diverse audience, you know. But this one is probably going to be directly to the people that would obviously like this band, and I'm really looking forward to that. You know, that's an exciting thought, like playing on a very big audience of people who love traditional metal or whatever, or extreme metal.
Yeah. Oh, great. So what are you most looking forward to about coming back then to a UK festival?
Well, I mean, first of all, this is our one and only UK show for 2013, so it's going to be pretty special for us. I mean, actually, it's going to be the first show with our new singer.
Yeah.
In the UK, I mean. And we also plan to have, you know, our full stage set up, you know, plan to have lots and loads of amps and speakers on stage.
Yeah. Cool.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a cool show. I'm looking forward to that, you know.
Yeah. And will you be staying around to watch the other bands like Accept and King Diamond that are on later on in the day?
I would really like to stick around and see King Diamond. And, I mean, I've seen Accept recently. They played here in my hometown, and they were phenomenal. And but I haven't seen King Diamond in years.
Right.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing his set, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and what do you like most about festivals? And, you know, do you have any particular likes and dislikes about playing festivals?
No, I mean, you know, it's always cool, you know. I mean, it's always great to I think it's a privilege for, you know, if you're not like obviously a really big headliner band or something, it's obviously a great thing to get out there and play in a much bigger audience than you usually would be playing, you know. So I think it can only do good for your band. I mean, unless you get some really shitty slot and nobody comes out and see you.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff can happen from time to time. But I mean, usually playing big festivals like this, it's most of the time it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, it's a cool feeling backstage sometimes. You know, you see bands that you've toured with years ago, or you shared a bus with, or it's like almost like a reunion of old friends and stuff. So
yeah,
it's cool to, you know, to run across. Like, for example, in Sweden, like last weekend, we were at Sweden Rock, and I was at the press area and stuff, and then I saw so many people that I knew from the days when I lived in Sweden, and I hadn't seen people and friends and, I don't know, from years and years, and it was just cool to meet up with a lot of people that I had, a lot of faces I hadn't seen in years.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so what do you think the importance of festivals is in the metal music industry in particular?
Well, obviously, it seems that a lot of people lately have been... It's like a primary destination or like to-do list for a lot of people, you know, during their year or holiday year, it seems like that, because a lot of people have been, it seems that they save up their money or whatever, you know, instead of going on holidays, they travel to festivals and they go out there and see their favorite bands, and it seems that there's a lot of festivals coming up every year, like more and more, you know, all over the place, and I don't know, I can't think of that as a bad thing, it's only good. People should go out there and have a good time, and it's great for the bands as well, like I said, you know, you can play in front of a much larger audience, and, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of doing 20 club shows, you can probably do one festival and play in front of all those people all together, you know.
Yeah. Great, okay, yeah. So, okay, so Firewind have a live album, not sure if I can say it right, is it Apotheosis, is it, due out soon? Yeah. So that's to celebrate your 10th anniversary. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first album of the band came out in 2002, and in 2012 it was like the 10th anniversary, like in discography, in our discography. So we ended the year with 4 shows in our homeland, in Greece, and we recorded those shows, but we also had recorded the previous European tour we did last year. The European tour and the UK tour. So we had all these, you know, bunch of recordings, and we thought, why not kind of like celebrate the 10th anniversary of the band? And at the same time, actually, kind of like happened where Apollo, our singer, he decided to quit the band. So it also kind of like has another, there's another like aspect of that release now as well. It's a very symbolic because it's also the last recording with him.
Mm.
So it's like a 10th anniversary for the band, like almost like a closing of a chapter. And moving on to the next one, so it's I don't know. It all coincided, like maybe it was meant to happen like that. I don't know.
And you've also I've been reading. You've got a lot of different special packages available, and you've really seemed to have taken into account what the fans want by producing a special Firewind necklace, which I think is really great. So that's a nice touch for the fans.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, what we did is we went out on Twitter and Facebook and we started asking, like, what do you guys want to see from us? What kind of merch item would you like to have? You know, I mean, we always have T-shirts and stuff, and that's what mainly fans are looking for. But what else would you like? And then people were, like, a lot of people were coming back to us and saying, we'd love to have, like, a necklace with your symbol. Because it's such a trademark for the band, you know?
Yeah.
And we went ahead and we did it. And, I mean, I know it's probably... cost a little bit more for the fans overseas. I mean, here in UK and Europe, a lot of people have been bitching because our merch store is in America, so the shipping costs are a bit too much. But then again, I mean, we you know, $50 for a package like that, getting like T-shirts, signed CD, and necklace, and all that stuff. I think it's a pretty decent price. Hopefully some of those fans are. I've been happy with that. I don't know. I hope so.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. So, okay, as you mentioned, Apollo left the band back in January and you've got a temporary replacement in Kelly Sundown Carpenter. How's that going, and do you have any more sort of permanent plans about what you're going to do?
Well, I mean, he's fantastic, this guy. Everybody who sees him perform live, their jaws are dropped immediately. They're like, wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing what this guy can do with his voice, and he's such a nice guy too, you know. And I mean, we started out with Kelly because we didn't know him, and he really nailed it on the song. You know, he killed it, and we just, you know, we hired the guy to go out with us and do the US tour and the festivals. You know, not really committing to further plans. You know, but I mean, we kind of like take it day by day and see how it works between us. And so far, it's been really good. And right now, there are no plans for us to go back in the studio very quickly. So. We'll see when the time comes what will happen, you know. And but so far, so good with Kelly, you know. I hope it can continue.
Yeah. Oh, great. Look forward to seeing him at Bloodstock.
Yeah.
Okay. So going back to your, over your career, you were influenced by many guitarists in your early days. So now that you're considered one of the top guitarists in the metal world, how does that make you feel? And have you had a chance to work with any of your favourite guitarists?
Well, I mean, last year I was part of the Aussie and Friends tour, and I got to jam on stage with people like Slash and Zakk Wylde, and that was a big honor, you know. And I grew up, you know, idolizing those guys, and they're still. Like I was saying, I mean, I've had the privilege to play with people like Slash and Zakk Wylde, and these are people I really look up to over the years, you know. So that was a very, you know, special highlight for me. I've also got to jam with a lot of my favorite guitar players like Uli Roth, Vinnie Moore over the years, you know. So. Yeah, I'm a lucky guitar player, I guess.
Yeah, okay. And you also seem to be one of the most active musicians in travelling the world with your guitar clinics. You've just done some in Russia, the Ukraine and Estonia. What's the reason that you enjoy doing that, and what are your thoughts about how they're received by the people who attend?
Well, to be honest, I don't do that many clinics per year. I only do like between 5 and 10, maybe,
right,
at the most. I mean, this year I only done 4, and that was like in Russia and Estonia and Ukraine. I don't think I'm going to do any more. You know, I get asked to do these things all the time, and as much as I enjoy meeting the people and playing for them, it's a little bit of a harder process for me, because you stand there alone, and it's not like a real concert. You stand there and, you know, you sit on a chair, and everybody's looking at your fingers, and you're, you know, it's a bit more, there's not much of a concert vibe, so it's
no.
A bit of a throw-off sometimes, but it's always nice to meet people and kind of like getting a chat going on and trying to answer their whatever questions they might have. So from that side of it, it's a very nice experience, you know?
Yeah.
You have a chance to kind of like meet some of your fans up close and stuff and see what they think and whatever. But yeah, I wouldn't go out there and do like 20 or 30 clinics a year, you know, probably. Not right now, at least.
Yeah, is it more sort of a teaching thing? You know, people are more interested in how you play and, you know, what you do.
You know, it's not really. I would expect it would be a lot more like teaching stuff like that, but it's more like people that ask more like generic questions and stuff, or
right.
like a general question, like how do you get that good? And I mean, you can't answer something like that.
Yeah.
Just like within 5 minutes. I mean, what should you say? I mean, this guitar has endless. You know, endless techniques and endless possibilities on the instrument. I mean, if somebody asks me for something specific, yeah, I'll try to explain that. But
yeah,
the general stuff, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know how much they get out of that, or maybe they're just happy that I show up there and play a few songs. You know,
I'm sure. Yeah.
I mean, either way, they seem to enjoy it. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, awesome. Okay. You've got 2 custom ESP guitars. Do you plan for any more particular signature ones to be created?
Well, I have 4 signature guitars.
4? Ooh. It needs updating then.
Yeah. I have them in various colors too now.
Yeah.
The red one, the black one, the white one, and I have another one which is more like a Les Paul shaped guitar.
Yeah.
The other ones have all this weird star shape. I mean, we always do things, you know, to improve my guitars and stuff. We re-released them last year with my signature pickups on them, so we mounted those on there. So now if you buy my signature guitar, you have my pickups on there as well.
Yeah. Cool.
What else? I mean, you know, I have a series of signature products. I mean, we just released a signature amp with the British company Blackstar.
Yes.
Amplifiers.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic, and yeah, it's the best amp I ever had, and what else? I just done a new pedal. So, I mean, I always... you know, it's great to work with these huge companies, you know, that are, and I really respect and love what they do, and just for them to give me attention enough to design products with them is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay. okay, you're also working on your first solo album. Can you tell me any more about that and when it might be available?
Well, it's in the process right now. I'm kind of like between playing festivals, I'm completing the writing and gathering some of the guests for the album. I'm probably going to be recording it sometime in the fall, and hopefully we can release early 2014, but
yeah.
We'll see. It's all kind of like happening together, you know, negotiating a record deal, writing, booking studios, it's a lot of work, but it's kind of hectic right now, but I'm sure everything's going to be in place pretty soon.
Great. Can you mention any of the guests who you've got appearing?
No, not right now. I'd like to have everything in place before I make an announcement. So,
okay.
But, you know, it's like there's some people that are known and some people that are completely unknown on there, just great musicians. So, so every song is different on it, and it's going to be a very diverse album. There's going to be some instrumentals, and then there's going to be some songs with vocals, and really? For people on it. And
yeah,
a lot of the stuff is a bit more mellow or more classic rockish sounding, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds very interesting. One to watch for then. Okay. So this week, of course, with all the big news about the new Black Sabbath album, 13, I must ask you if you've had a chance to have a listen and what your thoughts are about it.
Yeah, I downloaded the first day it came out, and I love it. It's a fantastic album. There's a lot of great songs on it. You know, they've done a great job. And, what should I say? I'm such a huge Sabbath fan. I'm as excited as everybody else in the world right now about it.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Do you have a favorite track at all?
I have a few, actually. I love Zeitgeist. I love Age of Reason. Dear Father. What else? The Loner. I mean, I just probably mentioned half the record. But there's a lot of great songs on it. Tony Iommi. It's unbelievable, this guy, what he comes up with on the guitar, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So, talking of Sabbath, and obviously you play with Ozzy, what's going on with that at the moment? Are there any plans coming up?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything, you know. They're probably busy with Sabbath, so...
Yeah.
I guess you'd have to ask Ozzy about that. He knows more
than I do. Okay. Right. So coming up then, you've got these festivals coming up. So what's next after that? I know you're working on your solo album. What's coming up for Firewind, and any more plans in the future?
We're going to do some more shows before the year ends, because I think next year, once my album comes out, I think I'm going to be doing some touring with that. So maybe Firewind is going to be on the back burner a little bit, or maybe just, you know, writing, taking it easy and writing slowly, gathering ideas for the next album. So like I said, we're not in a hurry to go in the studio right away. But I think there are going to be some more tours this year, you know. Maybe some places we've never been before. We're trying to reschedule those shows in Australia. I hope it comes through.
Yeah.
I just came back from Russia doing a clinic, and there was like lots and lots of fans there that really want to see us there. So hopefully we can have some shows there before the year ends. So, you know, we're trying to get some more stuff together before the year ends, you know, and ended up nicely, you know.
Oh, great, yeah. Hope that all works out for you then. Okay, so to finish off, would you like to leave a final message for your fans?
Yeah, to all the people that plan to come and see us to Bloodstock, get ready for a really kick-ass show. I really can't wait to be back in the UK. It's been too long.
Cool.
Even though if it's only like 8 months, but for us it's too long. We always play in the UK at least a couple of times a year. So, yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Great. Well, yes, we look forward to seeing you there. Okay.
Great.
Oh, thank you ever so much for your time, Gus, and have a great day. Okay.
Thank you, Ali. You too.